Isn't it a little early to be in our rain format? It's still nice out, but long about 2 o'clock. It's all going to break loose with 40-mile-an-hour winds and thunderstorms. That's later. Right now is nice out, and it's 10 after 8, time for Dean Richards Entertainment Report. Good morning, Dean. How you doing?
Good morning, everybody. Beautiful, muggy day.
Yep, for now. Let's talk about Bonnie Pointer. This is sad. She passed away, and from everything I have read, she was really the creative force behind the Pointer Sisters, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was the one that started everything back in 1969. She started the group with her sister, June. They were a duo. They were called Pointers, a pair. And then a couple of years after that, Anita and Ruth joined them, and they became the Pointer Sisters. They had their first hit together, Yes, We Can Can. And it was Bonnie Pointer that sang the lead on all of the early hits. She died yesterday of cardiac arrest, according to her publicist. And she went out on her own in 1978. This was before songs like Automatic and Neutron Dance and I'm So Excited and Jump for My Love. The group went on and had their biggest hits after she had left the group. But the surviving sisters, there are only two of them left now, say that if it wasn't for Bonnie, there never would have been Pointer Sisters. But Bonnie did have one pretty big solo hit on her own. It's this one, Heaven Must Have Sent You.
Now I don't know much about you, baby, but I know I can't live without you. Heaven must have sent you, honey. Love only me. Ooh. Heaven is the sweetness.
I remember hearing that one at Faces back in the day.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know this. They worked as backup singers for Taj Mahal and Boz Scaggs and Elvin Bishop.
Yeah.
Pretty talented group of Pointer Sisters.
Yeah,
for
really,
sure.
Really incredibly talented. And, you know, there were dark moments. Bonnie had a drug addiction problem at one point in her life and beat it. I believe it was June, who also had a drug addiction problem. I mean, it hasn't been an easy path for them. But they, you know, they were one of the most popular dance bands of the 1970s and 80s.
For sure.
You know, I loved their songs. The you know, Jump for My Love and Automatic and that string of hits among my favorites back in the day.
Yep, and they hold up well. Talk about dark moments. I saw a clip from Pete Davidson's movie, and how much of this is autobiographical?
It is. It's uncannily true. It's not a documentary in any sense, but in this movie, the character that Pete Davidson plays, his father was a fireman who was killed in action, just like Pete Davidson's real-life father was killed as part of the first responders at the World Trade Center at 9/11. Drug problems, just, you know, all kinds of personal problems that we now know were all true in real life for Pete Davidson. But it's also a very funny movie. It's called King of Staten Island. It drops on demand this coming Friday. And, you know, it's all out there, warts and all. And I did one of those Zoom interviews with Pete Davidson the other day and asked him about, you know, so much success so fast and all being out in public. Do you ever get, you know, like sort of the feeling, you know, be careful what you wish for? I mean, you got, you know, so much fame on SNL and so much success. And I wonder if that was gratifying to you, or you, in some ways you wish it had never happened to you.
It all terrifies me. But I feel very fortunate to be in the position that I'm in because, you know, I get to share my story with the world. And, you know, there's certain things, of course, that you wish never happened and certain things you learn from. But I feel very grateful to be in the position that I am.
So what's going to be next for you? Movies? Are you going to stick with SNL? What's the plan?
I'm very fortunate and lucky to be at SNL, and I'm going to be there as long as they allow me to be. And, you know, I'm just taking every day as it comes, you know, hopefully get to do more of these because I really enjoy them. But, you know, like I said, I'm very lucky with all I've been able to do so far.
Yeah. And more stand up also. We want you to bring some. I know nobody can do anything right now, but we want you to bring your stand up to Chicago, home of comedy.
Yeah, I would love to do more stand-up. Hopefully, you know, the world heals, you know, with time, and we're able to, you know, do that art form again.
Marissa Tomei plays his mom in the movie. He lives in his mom's basement, pretty much like he does in real life. It's uncannily true. It's not, you know, exactly, but it is very definitely based on Pete's real life. This is my first time interviewing him. And I found him to be very delightful and very charming. I'm sure we both interviewed people who were, you know, somewhere else when they were talking to you. Mm-hmm. Pete seemed to be very much in control and very content and very happy. So I'm glad for him because he's been through a lot in his young life.
Yeah, he's very open now. What was he, 20 when he joined the cast of SNL? Yeah.
Yes.
Man.
Yeah, 20 years old. And suddenly, you know, he was the breakout guy when he got on the show and then started dating Ariana Grande. That put him in an even higher profile.
Right.
And, you know, there were issues where he would just disappear for weeks at a time, and people feared suicide because he had talked about that in the past, and drug issues. And he openly says in the interview, I'm going to play the whole interview on my Sunday show this coming weekend, but he talks about that, you know, I struggled and I continue to struggle with lots of issues. I love how it gets noisiest in the newsroom when I'm on some really serious story.
They know.
About somebody struggling with life.
King of Staten Island, did you say that's on demand?
Yes, it'll be on demand starting on Friday.
Talking about great comedy stars and Chicago, of course, the home of a lot of great people who went on to national prominence from Second City, and they are embroiled in racism allegations. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, it started when I believe a former employee tweeted something about the longtime executive producer and co-owner of Second City, Andrew Alexander, saying, you know, complaining about how African Americans were treated at Second City. That caused Alexander to step down from his position. But now 19 current and former African American employees have written an open letter and put it on social media, saying that Second City, accusing Second City of discrimination and sexual misconduct and pay inequity, and they are demanding that there be investigations into all of this. They're demanding new leadership for Second City that is more diverse. So they have appointed Anthony LeBlanc as the interim executive producer. He is the first African-American executive producer at Second City. So whether he'll stay in that role and try to fix some of these things or, you know, more changes coming to this comedy mecca on Wall Street, we'll find out.
Dean Richards, what is going on now with the love scenes in this socially distanced world?
That sounds like a personal thing that you and I should talk about after the show, Bob. I don't know if we can discuss. No, they've announced that movie theaters in California are going to start opening this coming Friday with a lot of restrictions. So, I mean, things are moving in California. Capacity in movie theaters are going to be 25% or 100 people. Whichever is less, seats are going to be blocked off. You will have to wear a mask when you are walking around the movie theater or at the concession stand. Everyone's going to be kept 6 feet away. But that also means that they are going to begin movie production again at movie theaters. And they have issued something rather remarkable, a guidebook of what you have to do in order to make a movie. It's a 22-page booklet that specifically talks about close contact moments in the movie. That means hugging and kissing and more. They either have to be, these scenes need to be rewritten or completely cut out, or done by CGI, which is computer-generated imagery. So while you may think you're watching two people being intimate in some of those steamy love scenes, it will actually be done on a computer, which you know, takes a little of the fun out of the whole thing.
I'm sure they'll make it look real, though.
They do unbelievable and remarkable things with special effects. I just never thought that this would be one of the things that would be happening. I hope they still have, you know, when they cut away to those steamy scenes, how they kind of pan off to the left and you see a waterfall, or, you know, you just see
the train going through the tunnel.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't change, because those are classic moments in movie making to me.
And how are we going to eat popcorn through a mask? Tell me how we do that while we're watching a movie.
I guess you're going to be all isolated when you're sitting down, and it's okay to let your mask down for a minute. The masks, they say, are when you're walking around, when you're coming in, when you're leaving, when you're at the concession stands, you know, if you're moving about. But I guess when you're seated, it's not entirely clear whether you have to sit by yourself, or if you go to the movies with somebody, if the, you know, two of you or, family members can all sit together, and then the group is 6 feet away and socially isolated away from everybody else.
My head's exploding.
Yeah, it's going to be, either way, Illinois is not at that point yet.
No, so we got some time.
Let them work out the bugs in California, and then they can tell us how it works.
While we're on the subject of love scenes, let's talk about The Bachelor and some trouble there, right?
Yeah, this is, you know, with all the protesting that's going on, there is a new online petition that is being focused at the television show The Bachelor that wants to bring more diversity to the show. The online petition makes the very true statement that there has only been one black bachelor or bachelorette in the show's 18 years. And they are calling for a more diverse cast and an apology from the show. The online petition already has 44,000 signatures. The next scheduled Bachelorette season was to feature a woman who is white. All of that has been put on hold because of COVID-19. So whether or not they make some adjustments, or whether they continue, or how they respond to all of this is to be determined.
And what happened to the star of The Flash? What did he do?
Well, here's another guy who has passed, is coming to haunt him again. If you watch the TV show Flash on the CW, you're probably familiar with actor Hartley Sawyer. He plays a character. Let me find the character's name here, and that might make a little more sense to some people. But he plays a character on the show whose name is Ralph Dibny, the Elongated Man. I would like that to be my nickname. Dean Richards, the Elongated Man. Anyway, that's the character that he played. But a couple of years before he was even on the show, he started in 2017. Apparently, he posted some remarks on Twitter that are being called racist and misogynistic. And he's not denying it. He instead has issued an apology, saying that he's not going to make any excuses. He's very sorry, ashamed, and disappointed in himself for his ignorance back then, and says it's not reflective of who he is or how he thinks now. But even still, the TV show decided that he will not be back for season 7 once they start taping those. But I think they make that show in Toronto. He will not be back for the show.
Social media comments live forever. Be careful out there.
That's very true, you yep. Young kids out there posting nutty things on your social media.
Yeah. Finally, no good deed goes unpunished, I guess. Reese Witherspoon, she sued for a charity giveaway?
Yes. It's this really is no good deed goes unpunished. When the pandemic started, Reese Witherspoon and and her business partners, who own a company called Draper James Clothing Company, wanted to do something for teachers who were going the extra mile during the pandemic and working with kids on online and going by their houses and, you know, doing all the things that we know teachers are heroes for. So the company said that they wanted to give a free dress to all teachers. And they had, you know, something online where you had to fill out an application. On the application, it did say that supplies are limited. It didn't say, you know, just completely unlimited dresses will be given away. And nearly a million teachers did apply for this, and they provided the information that was asked for on the application. And all but 250 of them did not get free dresses. They only had 250 dresses to give away. The class action lawsuit said that it should have been more clear that not everybody was going to get a free dress, even though it did say supplies are unlimited. Supplies were limited, rather. The attorney for Reese Witherspoon's company says this is an unjust attempt to exploit their good intentions, and they'll see them in court.
There you go. Dean Richards, appreciate it. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you, Bob.